The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Feel myself.
Hi, Dan Orlovsky.
Steven A.
Smith.
Michael Irvin.
Yes. What's up,
Molly? Gentlemen, how unreal was this weekend?
Oh, it was sensational.
It was unbelievable. Every single game.
It's the best fourth quarter I've ever seen. It really was. It was spectacular, especially those last 3 minutes. The last 2 minutes of the game, 25 points. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, back and forth. I mean, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes going toe-to-toe, going at it. It's a damn shame that Josh Allen didn't get the ball in overtime.
We'll talk about all of that.
But in the end, it was something special to behold.
Let me give some details real quick for some people that might not have stayed up. So, obviously, as Stephen A. mentioned, it was a thriller last night in the AFC. Yeah. The Bills won in OT 42-36. Mahomes and Josh Allen special. Stephen A. just mentioned it. 25 points in the last 154. I want to underscore that. It was unreal. This is the second straight year the Bills season has come to an end against Kansas City. Buffalo has yet to win a road playoff game under coach Sean McDermott. They are 0-4, but here's Andy Reid on the dub.
Buffalo scores with 13 seconds left. I mean, you still have time to get the field goal, but it looks pretty grim there. Do you have any special advice to Pat right there? Do you have any words for him at that point when Buffalo took the lead for the last time?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it. So he did that. He went, he made everybody around him better, which he is great at. And you know, he just does it effortlessly. When it gets tough, you know, he's going to be there battling, and players appreciate that.
When it's grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Yes. Cold-blooded, man.
Savage.
Cold-blooded.
Savage, even for you, Top Gun.
Cold-blooded.
I'll come to you. What did we witness between Buffalo and Kansas City, Stephen A.?
Well, just to start off the show with a little bit of love, I mean, just something made me laugh before I get into anything else. The Kansas City Chiefs scored, drove down the field and got a field goal in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Cowboys could get off a snap at 14. I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, three plays.
I just want to start off that. I'm just saying.
Man, you test friendships.
I'm just saying.
At least Michael barely beat Rich Eisen in the catch contest, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Let's put that in its proper perspective. Patrick Mahomes had three plays that drove them down the field from their own 24-yard line to a field goal to win a game in 13 seconds, and they couldn't get off a snap.
Only he could bring it back to the Cowboys.
I just think it's appropriate to start off the show that way.
It's not Apple Zone Apple.
No one cares about the Cowboys. There's a couple of things that I want to say.
Josh Allen, and I was tweeting this, I said the successor to Tom Brady has arrived. That's how spectacular I thought his performance was. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I'm saying he's not Tom Brady. He's Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to be anybody. But Josh Allen was so sensational to be so young, to be in that position, and to produce and stand toe-to-toe the way that he did. It was a sensational performance. Right. I've never been higher on Josh Allen than I am today. It was a sensational performance, okay? I mean, to come out, to be in a deficit, to throw a 75-yard touchdown pass to Davis, for Davis to show up the way that he did with 201 receiving yards, when Stephon Diggs, no disrespect, but three receptions for 7 yards, you Stephon Diggs, I expected better.
They wanted to take him out.
I understand, but you can't let them take you out to that degree. Not three receptions for 7 yards. Yeah. You got to do better. But Davis showed up, showed out, deserved a lot of props for that as well. So it's not just Allen, it's Davis as well. And then Patrick Mahomes comes back. I don't know. Listen. Dan Orlovsky, Michael Irvin, I'm going to leave this to y'all. But I'm just going because I got a lot to say, but y'all play. So I'm defer to y'all.
Yeah.
We all know how high I am on black coaches. Mm-hmm. Coaches getting opportunities. Now, damn it, Leslie Frazier, you better be able to tell me Sean McDermott did something, who was a defensive coordinator for 2 years in Philadelphia years in Carolina before he became a head coach. Somebody needs to explain to me. First of all, I don't give a damn if you got a triple team Tyreek Hill. Okay? Yeah. I mean, this dude, I mean, he goes slamming over the middle. He gets hit by Patrick Mahomes and just scampers down the right side. It was like Demaryius Thomas with Tim Tebow throwing him the ball all over again. Mm. I couldn't believe what happened. Okay? So you score that touchdown. Then Josh Allen comes down again, hits Davis again for a touchdown. Yeah. Okay? And it's 13 seconds left. It's 13 seconds left. Everybody going to talk about, all right, don't kick it out. Don't kick it out. You know, let them take time. Scramble the ball. I get all of that. But the number one defense has 13 seconds to stop, even if it is Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You got 13 seconds and you can't stop it. I swear to you, as I'm sitting here today, I'm the type of dude. Remember, my favorite owner of all time is George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner, formerly of the New York Yankees, got right. So Leslie Frazier, somebody might have lost their job before you even got out the stadium. 13 seconds? Inexcusable. Floor is yours.
Listen, I'm going to say this, man. This was one of the most incredible games we've seen. We talk all the time about quarterbacks, and we're trying to determine, is a quarterback, can he lift this team or can he lift that team? We saw what two quarterbacks that can lift a team to a Super Bowl looked like in that game yesterday. So when we're measuring them, and we're talking about the Ryan Tannehills and can those guys do it, but we saw it. And we saw not just quarterback play that just making throws, just some exceptional plays. Josh Allen, elusiveness, and his slick hips making those fourth down runs that he made
a lot
incredible.
Of them.
Made a lot of them. It was what we've been looking for and what we witnessed some in our life. It was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady-esque. That's what it is. That's what we'll get if Josh Allen can continue to progress and play like this for the next 10 years along with Patrick Mahomes.
So it was the greatest quarterback game I'd ever seen in my life between both of those guys. I think what we saw was the stuff that is, for franchises, so hard to find in quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes' ability to have that competitive spirit, but the poise in the moment is something that you just don't know about a cat until he's in it. Yeah. And then the same with Josh Allen, but how he competitively wills his team to have success. And that, again, is something you just don't know. Like, what stood out to me in the game was Patrick threw that touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill.
Right there.
The broadcast cut right to the sideline, and Josh Allen did this. Turned to his team and said, we got three. We got three timeouts. We're good. They go down and score, and then obviously Kansas City does what they do. I think that what happened was, or I could boil the game down to this. Kansas City's coaching staff was a reason they won the game, and Buffalo's feels like a reason why they lost the game. And that's a lot for me to say, because I think the absolute world of Buffalo's coaching staff.
So do I.
But the lack of the squib kick, and then to Stephen A's point, the way that they were in that defensive situation in comparison to Kansas City, who calls their first play, knows exactly what to do. Andy Reid pops the timeout at the right moment. They hit Travis Kelce. I don't think that completion of Kelce was the called play. I think it's completely recess football, freelance, but Kelce goes down, and as Kelce's going down, you see Wiley and the center doing this as they're running downfield. Right, they were all ready for the moment, and it didn't seem like Buffalo was defensively. This throw to Kelce, I don't think that was the route called. And now watch, all these cats from the reverse angle are getting up. This is the angle. Watch 77 and watch Creed Humphrey. Right when this catch is made, watch 77 and 52 right now. Both of those guys are going timeout. They look ready for the moment. They look to know exactly what they can and cannot do.
When you say best quarterback game, you're talking about ever amongst any quarterbacks?
Both of them, absolutely.
Oh, by them. I didn't know if you were saying ever.
I think with two guys, it's the best two-guy performance.
I understand. I just want to be clear on that.
Because of some of the ways they made throws, I mean, some of the throws Patrick Mahomes made.
The sidearm throw is indescribable.
The guy arms and throw, it was insane. But even on these last plays, and I know we'll get on the defense about this, I don't understand why, as a receiver, you give me a free release. in those situations. That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. Like if you get up on me and you press me, just press me, and you got somebody over the back, over top of me, because, you know, to stop the deep passes, then you'll make that a much more difficult throw. So given those releases, free releases at the end, I didn't understand why.
Listen, it was tremendous heart on the part, but like you talked about, poise, heart. Both of them ran for more than 65 yards, yeah. Patrick right. Mahomes and Josh Allen. Both of them. Okay, they were flinging the football all over the field. Each was in pressurized moment, didn't blink at all.
Yeah.
And where the shame comes in for Buffalo, remember, Poyer and Micah Hyde got offended. I think it was those two when they lost to New England.
Yes.
And the reporter asked about the fact that, you know, he only, they only threw the ball three times and stuff like that. They should have been a little bit offended because obviously they held New England to, you know, minimal points and they still lost the game and it wasn't their fault. You should be ashamed of yourself last night. The entire defense. Josh Allen is a 25-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
And this dude took you to the AFC Championship game last year and was on the verge of taking it to you. He answered the call. I mean, every pressurized situation you could possibly be confronted by, he was and stood up. And oh, by the way, in the end, you know what he was begging for? Just give me the ball back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just give me the ball. I already delivered for you, okay, on two separate occasions, not needing a field goal, needing a touchdown.
Yeah.
I already delivered for you twice in the last 2 minutes. He did everything but get on his knees on national television in front of the defense and beg them, just give me the ball. Just give me the ball. That's all I ask. Give me the ball back. And with 13 seconds left, first of all, he didn't have to do that because he wants you to stop him with 13 seconds left. And then after that, give me the ball back. Let him kick a field goal. Right. Just let him out. Keep him out of the end zone. You couldn't do that as the number one defense. The Buffalo Bills, that defense, they should be sick to their stomachs. And you let down. What a moment. You talk about a moment that's missed. Can we really sit here as former football players, can y'all really sit here and say a moment like that will present itself again?
No, that's a scary thing.
I don't know if you can ever predict because of how Josh Allen played. As great as I think he is, I don't know if you can ever predict he'll play like that again. That's how phenomenal he was. And you wasted it because you couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes with 13 seconds left from getting 50 damn yards.
In the moment.
It's unbelievable, man.
I had a buddy of mine, when he throws that touchdown pass to Gabe Davis with 13 seconds left, a buddy of mine, Dave Phelps, texted me, goes, what did I just witness? And I said, the takeover. Because it felt like that, just the way he imposed his will.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like Patrick got the ball back and said, hold on. Like, not
I'm
just
still
yet.
Here.
I'm still on. I said last week, if Josh Allen wins, he sits at the top of the throne. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes said, no, that's still my seat. And the crazy thing for me, walking away from the game even more, Irv, is this. If you're a team in the AFC and you don't have a quarterback that you honestly believe can go face-to-face with one of those two guys, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. Both of them are that good.
And one of the things I thought about is, and we'll talk about this, Aaron Rodgers, don't come over to the AFC. These boys are here now.
Don't go to that division.
And we're going to get into that.
We're going to limit all
of this. And there's Joe Burrow. And there's Lamar. And Herbert.
And now Joe Burrow goes to KC. We'll see a cheeky game, too.
Stay out of this thing right here.
You know who didn't miss the moment? I don't know if you heard, Dan. Matthew Stafford.
Let's go. I am here today, Stephen A.
Detroit's in the building.
I am here today. And you got to deal with me. Let me get my dang chair.
Oh, my goodness.
You thought you were rough on the Cowboys fans last week.
All right. Taking down the Bucs in Tampa Bay. Looked like a blowout early, then in typical Brady fashion. Injuries and all. He led his squad all the way back from a 24-point deficit to tie it up with 45 seconds left. Stafford drove the ball down the field thanks to Cooper Kupp. Got in field goal range and won by three. Matthew Stafford headed to his first NFC Championship game. Here's the man of the hour on how he was feeling when he spiked the ball before setting up the game-winning field goal.
I don't know what I said, to be honest with you, and I'm glad they didn't flag me for spiking it a little bit there. All the guys on the sideline were like, man, you were in a dark place. And I said, sometimes you got to go to those places, you know, and to make some plays happen. So I was... Man, I was enjoying the moment. You know, in my mind, I live for those kind of moments. You know, I would have loved to have been taking a knee up three scores. But it's a whole lot more fun when you got to make a play like that to win the game and just steal somebody's soul. You know, that's what it feels like sometimes where they're sitting there going, man, we just had this great comeback. And you get to reach in there and take it from them. That's a whole lot of fun.
They know still somebody's soul.
Just a little glimpse into it.
That's Dan, Tom Brady. That's the goat soul you taking there. That's the goat soul. That's where that is right there.
Okay. No question. Oh, there's a quote I live by soul. That sometimes you got to go through it to get to it.
Amen.
And he's absolutely gone through it. But tell me this. Does Stafford have more to prove?
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, this goes back to the summer, the trade, most pressure in the NFL. They went to trade for him to go win a Super Bowl. And the thing that I love the fact is he's ready for that moment. Like, he wants that. And you saw, Playmaker, you saw a little bit when he said, Steal this, I can't do this segment with sitting down. I'm too hype. Too hype for this guy, right? This is why I'm wearing a jacket today, because everybody needs a wingman, Stephen A. And I've been the dude. My favorite part about this, I got a lot of favorite parts about this. So I was with Matthew for a couple years, right? And I would watch this dude show up every single day. And I'd have people tell me, I would have writers in Detroit come to tell me, Matthew Stafford's not good enough. I'd be sitting there like, you're out of your mind. I'd be walking around town and people would come up to me like, all he is a stat padder. I'd be like, dude, this dude is great. I have people on social media, all you people on social media, that'll send me memes and say, I wish someone would back me the way you back Matthew Stafford. He sucks. You guys were all wrong. And there's been a small community that tried to tell everybody, like, this dude's great. And for him, he just showed up, and he was a great teammate. He'd always take the blame. He'd always give the credit. Always take the blame. Always give the credit. And when he was traded to Los Angeles, he said this, I just want the chance to have games in January with the ball in my hands and the chance to make a play. And he did that. And I said this a couple months ago. There is not a cat in the league. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love Josh Allen. That I want with the ball in their hands, with the game on the line, more than Matthew Stafford. And I just wanted America to see the guy that so many of his teammates saw. And that's what happened. So all the people that said he sucked, you were wrong. All the people that said he couldn't deal with the pressure, you were wrong. All those people who said he was a stat padder, you were wrong. He's finally got a good team around him, and now he's in the NFC Championship game, and he shut a lot of people up. A lot of people. And that's my favorite part of yesterday. And that's why I'm wearing the jacket. And Stephen A., I know you had a comment about Matthew Stafford not too long ago that I remembered.
What did you remember? What did
you said, Matthew Stafford, stop acting like you're a Detroit Lion.
Because at the time, over a 7-week stretch, he wasn't looking too good.
No!
Was that not? Hold on, no. See, now you're lying. Because what you said was, Matthew Stafford, you were not concerned about him at all.
Correct.
Even in the throes of those troubles.
Correct.
You didn't disavow those troubles. You didn't act like they didn't exist. You just said you weren't worried about it because in the end, he would show up, which he did, and he deserves credit for it. But it's not like the rough patches didn't happen. So while the rough patches happened, we pointed them out. You were like, you're not concerned at all. We were like, how the hell can you not be? Because if he continues to look like this, it's a problem. Now, let me say this to you. Matthew Stafford threw for 366 yards, 2 touchdowns, not a single interception. I thought he had a great game, and I thought he showed up when it counted. And this is a very proud moment for Matthew Stafford. I recall when he got traded to the Los Angeles Rams, everybody talked about how that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was a significant upgrade from Jared Goff. Sean McVay, we even had debates. Who has more to prove, Matthew Stafford or Sean McVay? Because Sean McVay, now you got this talented quarterback, because we all knew what Matthew Stafford brought to the table. The game-winning drives in the fourth quarters, the wins that he produced again for the Detroit Lions. The problem was, in his relatively illustrious career, numbers-wise, he had never won one single playoff game in the only three appearances that he made. The last 2 weeks, that has changed, obviously. But what I'm saying to you is this. The questions about him were legitimate. Let me add another thing to you while you're sitting there bloviating about something. I love how you just conveniently ignore. They were up 27-3.
Stephen A., don't go there, Stephen A.
Hold on. You got to be fair.
This is a good spot.
You can't be
a good spot.
You're objective and phenomenal with everything else.
And it's a good spot.
But you get emotional with Matthew Stafford. Let's reel you in a second here. Let's reel you in. They were up 27-3. Let's say, for the sake of argument, when you had the bad snap, okay, and Tampa Bay recovered the football and what have you. Let's say stuff like that happened and Matthew Stafford didn't have a chance to have that moment. what would we be sitting here today saying? We'd be talking about how he didn't get it done. Right. That's not Matthew Stafford throwing an interception.
Right.
That's not Matthew Stafford's fault per se, but he wouldn't have gotten it done because they would have lost the game. He showed up when it counted and had that pass to Cooper Kupp. I have no idea how you let Cooper Kupp get behind you. Anybody but Cooper Kupp, who destroys everybody and somehow, some way, Tampa Bay allowed them to get behind the defense. You got guys, the lane, they're supposed to be blitzing, and Davis and others, and they didn't blitz. We get all of that. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is this. Don't act like you weren't sitting there when they up 27-3, because I thought Tampa Bay was going to get blown out of the stadium.
I did as well.
Blown out of the state. And Tom Brady and them come marching back.
Yeah, you were
nervous. And they tie that game at 27.
You were nervous.
Stop acting.
But that's
exactly what puts Matthew Stafford over. Because, okay, in game one, I was like, okay, maybe this is the Rams' way to a Super Bowl, where you use him as a luxury and not a necessity. Because game one, they kind of used him as a luxury.
Well, he was a necessity yesterday.
But he was a necessity yesterday. Mm-hmm. And even to come back, when he just said, when you thought you had won that game, and then I come back and snatch your soul, he's talking to the GOAT. The GOAT thought he had won that game. The GOAT. And the GOAT thought he went every time he.
Well, the GOAT did his job.
Well, the GOAT. Yes, the defense did.
No doubt. But I'm saying, if you want to be a bad man, go beat the bad man. Yeah. It's prison yard mentality. Yeah. He went in and beat the bad man. That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to bring him across the water.
Who's disagreeing with that?
Because, Stephen A., you make the point that they had that big lead and then the lead went away, implying that Matthew Stafford had anything to do with that. No, yes, you do, because then Playmaker said, you had to go beat the man, and you're like, well, he did his job. He did his job.
Time out, Dio.
Okay.
In the game of football, correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys played. I mean, you guys played. I didn't play. I mean, you know, you won three titles.
When you do this.
And you got the love affair with Matthew Stafford. I get it, okay? If I remember correctly, in the sport of football, when the other team scores, you get it back.
Correct.
So you up 27-3.
Bet.
They score 27-10.
Yeah.
You got the ball back.
Yeah.
You didn't do nothing. They scored 27-17. I didn't say it was his fault. I didn't say it was his fault.
You were?
No. What I said is we would have been saying Matthew Stafford didn't get it done, even though we would have pointed the finger at the Rams, not him. We would have said, this is more of it. Detroit has arrived in L.A.
I would not have allowed that.
Wait a minute. Right. Detroit has arrived in L.A., meaning
you
that.
You wouldn't have allowed what?
No.
The blame.
Hold on. Matthew Stafford is what he is. But the team he was surrounded by let him down.
Dan.
That's what we would have said.
You know what,
and
Dan,
he couldn't overcome
Dan, it.
It was a great game for you
because Tom Brady's team was decimated and your guy got it done.
I'm not going to disagree with that. The downside with the Buccaneers this season is we did not get to see the Super Bowl champions have a chance to repeat.
Correct.
But I will push back on this, because you said that when the interceptions were happening, that I was sitting there saying, I always said not all turnovers were created equal. I said the whole time that some of those turnovers, 3rd and 18, he's just taking a shot downfield. 3rd and 20, he's giving a guy a shot. And everyone was like, I'm concerned about it. And I said, I'm not, because I know the guy. So I wasn't sitting here saying, well, in the moment, we got to see. I said.
That's what I said.
No, you said that I was acknowledging that there
were
things. I
said you were saying, you were acknowledging that there were things, but you said you were not concerned about Matthew
Stafford. Well, he had a streak of interceptions, so people were concerned about. But you're saying all
Matthew Stafford had thrown interceptions, and that's how they had come back.
He's saying it can't just be the numbers.
If they came back from 27-3 on a couple pick sixes, then we could be saying.
Excuse me, can we have a moment to get on him? Because I need both of you for this.
Okay, but can I say this one quick thing?
Yeah. Real
quick.
You're taking away from my moment.
Matthew Stafford.
Come on, Stephen A.
Don't lose to Jimmy Garoppolo.
You cannot do that.
What? You know what you did?
Wait, time out. Because this is what happened. The unthinkable happened. Stephen A. Smith, Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, as you like to call him, that is not me, in the San Francisco 49ers, they went to Lambeau, that bad man's house, and knocked off your boy and the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers put up how many touchdowns did he put up, Stephen A.?
Zip one.
Oh, it took you a while. He's not focused. Looking ahead to the future.
Yeah, zip.
The way it's set up here, you know, with guys that have expiring contracts, the salary cap situation, do you still think it's possible to win a Super Bowl here, or was this kind of the last go at it?
Yeah, I don't know, Rob. I mean, that's a fair question. Definitely what I've thought about. You know, there are a lot of decisions to be made, and, you know, key players, a lot of guys who played tonight, you know, so many guys' contracts are up or on the brink or salary cap stuff. So a lot of decisions to be made. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild if I'm going to keep playing. So a lot of decisions, you know, in the next couple months.
I just want Rodgers to know this is not personal to him and the Prada jackets fire. It's much more about Stephen A. So Rodgers' playoff struggles have continued since winning his only Super Bowl in 2011. He remains unbeaten against his home team and extended his streak of 16 playoff starts without reaching a Super Bowl. Stephen A., I think I asked you on Friday.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what if Jimmy G goes in to Lambeau? Mm-hmm. And beats that bad man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You finished?
And I mean, that happened.
Can I answer?
So what had happened was,
I'm just waiting. First of all, I think there's a couple of important things to say. Number one, my Tom Ford blazer looks much better than his Prada jacket. I just want to think that's important.
You are one of a kind, man.
I just think that's important. I mean, that's fire. My jacket, you saw me on General Hospital last Monday. My Tom Ford jacket.
Oh, yeah, that was a good look.
I saw you with the white on Thursday.
That's right. Yeah, I see it. That was a blazer. That's a sensational blazer with ice. You don't even understand.
Two chains over here.
You don't even understand. Having said all of that, let me get serious for a second.
Okay, please.
It was the worst loss of Aaron Rodgers' career. The bad man no longer applies. It's just one game in a lot of people's eyes, not mine. When he beat Chicago, he made news earlier this year. He said, I own you. I still own you.
Mm-hmm.
He forgot to mention who he's owned by. And that's the San Francisco 49ers in the postseason. 0-4. I don't give a damn what the weather conditions were. I don't give a damn if it was so foggy like it was in Chicago years ago that you can't see 2 feet in front of you. You can't lose that game. Can't do it. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't beat him. The special teams beat him. I mean, block punt. I mean, that was a touchdown. They blocked a field goal. They gave up two big runs. The special teams was awful. And here's where Matt LaFleur, once again, it's always somebody else other than Matt LaFleur. You pick the staff. You're accountable for them. One year is the defense. Another year is the offense. You take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. All of this stuff. Even though you win in your 13 games during the regular season, your special teams was worse all year long.
Yeah.
Football Focus had you rated the worst special teams in all of football. And you go into this game and you allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The defense for the Green Bay Packers gave up 3 points. I'm sorry, 6 points. It's 6 points. They played to win the game. Even with that said, you Aaron Rodgers, you with Matt LaFleur, and you can't score more than 10 points at Lambeau Field in snowy conditions you're very, very familiar with. It's fun. I mean, I understand that San Francisco, Northern California ain't Southern California, but they ain't got to deal with the weather conditions that you're accustomed to. They rolled on into Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin, where the only thing that's relevant is Aaron Rodgers and cheese. That's it. And somehow, some way, found a way to hold you to 10 points. It is the worst defeat of Aaron Rodgers' career. And it could not have come at a worse time, because after all that noise you made coming into the season, and then the noise you made by being the deliberate liar in chief with the whole immunization and all of that stuff, you got a playoff game. We threw all of that aside. And we said, all right, this is your time.
Sure.
This is your time. And you came up short. He could be handed the league MVP award.
Right.
And nobody gives a damn. You're the man who came up flagrantly short It is that big. You didn't go out like Tom Brady did yesterday.
No, it does feel legacy defining, Stephen A. It really does.
It's at this moment.
Unless he goes and wins the Super Bowl.
This is legacy defining.
Yeah. Right.
And for me to say that, because we know how I feel about
that's
Aaron Rodgers.
That's why I'm trying to get some clarification on what you're saying. Are you saying, what do you mean you're done with it? Or no longer?
Remember when I said that we used to talk about Patrick Mahomes being best, but this man and all that other stuff?
Right.
I throw all of that out the window. You cannot lose that game yesterday.
Yeah.
You cannot lose that game. You missed the regular season. You missed the regular season. You can't lose that game.
But all the things that you said that makes him, that you've said previously, that makes him that bad man, he still is. Aaron Rodgers just, in crucial moments, just don't make the right decisions.
But then you're not in the conversation with the greats.
And that's why we're talking most physically, when I'm talking most physically gifted.
Yes.
Some of the throws that we have seen this dude make.
Yes.
I sat here, and when we were arguing about, I'll take that press, go to it. And then I'm watching you. I said, you know what? I'll never say that again. Because you watch some of the throws he's made this season. I mean, it's just incredible. He really is incredible. But just to go out like that, with all else that's around you, I still believe in Aaron Rodgers. I still know he's a great player, and I believe he's going to be back in Green Bay because he has no other place. What we're talking about right now, he has to get another ring. He has to get another
ring. Dan, are we being too hard on him?
No. In this game, he did not play well. I thought it was his worst game of the season, certainly his worst game since week one. I actually thought Jimmy Garoppolo outplayed him. After you watched the tape, I think the thing—
Could you repeat that for Stephen A?
I'm telling you, man. If you watch the tape, Jimmy Garoppolo made more consistently better and impressive throws under chaos than Aaron did in this football game.
I ain't saying much.
Okay?
All right, but that's still the truth of the game
outside of that one decision by Jimmy. My fear, honestly, is that the great majority of the people are going to have Stephen A's perspective on it. Like, that's it? That's it? You are as great as you are. That's it? One Super Bowl? And that's not my perception of him. I think he's the most talented guy that I've ever seen. Him and Patrick are right there. But the public is going to go, dude, you had one Super Bowl win. If you don't lend
back
to
my perception is this. Can I just say one thing? My perception is, do not put him in the same conversation as Tom Brady ever. And is he even the best regular season quarterback, or is that Peyton Manning? So those were the two thoughts that came to my mind.
And that's the tough part that he sits in, because Peyton's got two. That's the tough situation. He's the most physically gifted.
He's one of the most physically gifted.
Right.
He's just not having the success.
He is the greatest talent that I have ever seen at the quarterback position.
Okay.
But that's what makes this so glaringly alarming and disappointing.
I agree with a lot of the stuff you said.
Sometimes I get boxing analogy, sometimes I get baseball, whatever. Roberto Duran, hands are stone. Do you realize that's one of the greatest boxers in the history of the sport ever?
Yeah.
When he said no mas.
No mas.
There's certain things you can't overcome.
You're right.
And what I'm saying to you is this. The talent that you have, there's a level of expectation that comes with it. Aaron Rodgers was in the offseason. They're making changes. They're not consulting with me. They're not listening to me. They're disrespecting me, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So they had to mend fences. They had to mend those relationships. They had to listen to you more. They had to add personnel like Randall Cobb and others that you wanted back on the squad. They had to do all of these things. And the Green Bay Packers, you had an offense. You had a defense. You had a running game. You have an elite receiver. I understand that you didn't have some pieces, but in the end, you had what you needed to be the Super Bowl favorite.
Sure.
You were on your home team. You lose this game bad as it would have been.
You're right.
It's one of the most disappointing situations in terms of his talent.
That's different. You lost because you scored 10 points.
Yeah.
I don't know how you overcome that.
Again, I just don't think Aaron uncharacteristically played poor.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
And the thing that separated him this season to every other quarterback was, like, those simple basic plays, simple basic reads, he treated them like they were the most important read of his career. And there's six or seven plays yesterday this past weekend that he didn't.
Aaron Rodgers scored 3 points in the last 3.5 quarters of a playoff game at Lambeau Field.
Yeah. That's why you're not giving San Fran's defense enough credit.
I know how bad they are.
That defense
I'm sure you give them credit.
I still want to say
give them credit again.
When I keep saying,
I know what they did the week before.
Get on out of here with all that. When I get back, you keep saying he can redeem himself, Michael.
He's
physically gifted. Talented is also your ability to process this game and make the right decisions. That's what Tom Brady does. We don't see the physical gifts in Tom Brady, but his talent is his head and his mind also.
By the way, we'll get into this later, but I think he's gone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Tom Brady, at 44 years old, missing two of his top receivers and down to third stringers on the O-line, erased a 24-point deficit to tie the game, losing to the Rams on a field goal. Some would argue that if the Bucs were healthy, he'd be in his eighth Super Bowl. The point being, he still got it. We know he's expressed the desire to play till 45, but with the NFC getting better and better, salary cap issues on the squad, and a potential loss of coordinators to head coaching jobs, will he hang it up after a season where he didn't accomplish the ultimate goal, but still led the league in passing yards and TDs? Here's the GOAT on his future.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
Did you at least take a moment as you came off the field or at any time today to think about that, to think that this might be the last time I'm out here?
No, I was thinking about winning. That's kind of my mentality always, to go out there and try to win, give my team the best chance to win.
What will be the biggest factor for you in making that decision going forward?
Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
I just got to say one thing before you jump in that I find interesting. When Aaron Rodgers was asked the question, he talked about the future. When Brady was asked the same question, he only wanted to focus on the game. Stephen A., would you be surprised? What?
Why would Aaron Rodgers want to focus on the game? He just lost. He played like garbage. And they didn't meet expectations.
Of course he would want to talk about the future. But maybe you would want to take some accountability.
Maybe you would say, I'm not dealing with the future. I'm upset. I just lost the game. It's best to take accountability, but most people don't want to. That's what makes some of us who want to take accountability special. That's just a thought. Let's move on.
Dude, you can make the sun rising about you. It's amazing.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Would you be surprised, though, Stephen A., if Brady walks away now?
Yeah. Right. Well, first of all, Antonio Brown betrayed him, betrayed the team, you know, quit on him. It's number one. You don't anticipate that.
Right.
Chris Godwin goes down, injuries happen, but you're certainly not anticipating that while things are flowing. So you look at it from the standpoint of a Mike Evans, a Gronk, a Brate, and other guys. And if you're Tom Brady, The thing that I continuously point to is the fact that he always talked about playing until he was 45. Last time I checked, he's 44. Mm-hmm. He'll be 45 next season. And since he's known as a guy that's pretty good with his word, when he tells you what the mission is, he's pretty good about following it. To me, leaving now would be a year early. Now, I will say it gives me cause to pause when I looked at how comfortable Giselle, the wife, because we all know the wife matters, okay? You see what I'm saying? She was in the suite when they were down 27-3. She didn't look too phased. She was out there. She was up there having the ball.
No, because she's a boss, too.
Let me get my point. My point is, it was like, I've seen her before, and you heard her going off on people and stuff like that. I mean, he can't do everything. Coming to her husband's defense. I looked at her, and I was like, it does look like she's quite comfortable. Like, this could be it. And she's quite comfortable with it ending because she's wanted him to, you know, stop playing for years. That's the only thing that gave me cause to pause. But in the end, the fact of the matter is he's always said 45. Right. And to be quite honest with you, he's so sensational. He's been so great for the sport. Guys, you know what I think? I think it would be good for Tom Brady to walk in the next season and let everybody know this is it. Right. Because I think he deserves to be celebrated
in all
the way MJ was
like
celebrated.
We did with Kobe and all that kind of stuff.
MJ, and every Kobe.
Can they retain the players, and do they lose their coordinators? Does he want to start over potentially with a new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, the team and roster could look very differently, potentially losing Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, and Byron Leftwich, which I thought was awesome again yesterday as their offensive coordinator.
So, but would you be surprised?
I would be – nothing surprises me in the NFL.
If he walks away.
I would be – I think it's likely he's done. And because this felt different yesterday when the conversation became public. Tom is the greatest ever, I think, in the football world of never allowing the conversation of what might happen off the field to become part of the conversation of what's happening on the field. I go back to when he was going to leave New England. And it comes out that, he was pretty much made up right at the end of that season. That was never public until post-free agency. And the fact that we had the report yesterday of potentially talking about retiring or he's going to contemplate it this offseason, that's new, at least for me, when it comes to Tom Brady. And that's what makes me think, man, he might actually walk away. It would be incredible if he did. I agree that he should be celebrated, like Stephen A. say. Who did he lose to yesterday?
Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Right. Get out of here. Get back to that, man. Let me tell you something.
Sit down.
This dude right here, I would be shocked if he left. Let's be real here.
Shocked.
Let me tell you why. He left New England to play GM. This is his time now to play GM. Mm. He didn't want to leave. New England was, they're going to get rid of me early. I might as well go while I still have something in me, and I'm going over here. I'm playing GM. He still has some talent in that building. This is his opportunity to play GM. He was emotional right there. As Stephen A. said, his wife's up there. They've been talking about it. He had to say that to, baby, at least I said it now, that, you know. But once he rests and gets some rest and them guys start calling, Tom, let's try to do this again. Hey, he'll be back. I refuse to believe we are going to lose Tom Brady. He'll be back one more year.
And not only that, if Tom Brady if Tom Brady had gone down yesterday, fully loaded, that might be a little
different.
That's the downside of this season.
But you know good and well, he's like, if I had a couple of my weapons, we would have ended this. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I think that's another incentive where I can see him coming back. And the reality is that, you know what? It's beautiful. The thought is beautiful to imagine him coming back with all of those young guns in the AFC because he don't have to face one of them. If he sat up there and won the NFC, well, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, you got Joe Burrow, you got Justin Herbert, you got Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I mean, it's like he going to go against one of them. If he was to come out of the NFC next season, if he chose to come back.
I see him at the Super Bowl. That's I ain't got to deal with them.
You ain't got to deal with them.
Until I see him at the Super Bowl.
One game.
And I can get him for one
game. And only one. And only one of them.
And then I get on out of here with that 8-3.
Can I just read you one thing that TB12 Sports tweeted? You win or you learn. There's no failures, only lessons. When you fall, you need to pick yourself up with greater enthusiasm when you went down. Now we look back on an incredible season, learn our lessons, and get up because even greater things are coming. #keep going.
That's a beautiful thing to say, but let me say this to the real world. You do learn a lesson, no doubt about it, but you do fail, and you learn lessons from failure. This notion
the point that was keep going. I was this, reading into no it. He might play again.
You wanted to play so okay. bad.
There's no such thing as failure. Yes, there is. And Green Bay can speak to that.
Well, failure's an end game.
If the Giants get a real quarterback, maybe I'll
you
be okay.
Have setbacks on a journey.
Brian Dable, do you want Brian Dable? Giants fans, Brian Dable, pairing with Daniel Jones?
No, cool.
Hell no.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. After one of the best weekends in football ever, no case of the Mondays here. We are hype, and thank you for being with us. Good morning. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to First Take, ESPN's home for the hottest sports takes. I'm Molly Quarum, and here with me is the always outspoken Stephen A. Smith.
Molly. It is fantastic to be here. Absolutely fantastic.
And our newest co-host, a man who thought the show needed more passionate energy, Dallas Cowboys legend Michael Irvin.
Okay, Molly, Stephen A. right here. Stephen A., you wrong, brother, okay? It is not fantastic to be here. It is a delicious privilege to put on this suit, you understand? To put on this $6,000 tie clip, okay? The thickest one ever made. This is here. This is special.
Okay, want to remind you both that it's 10 a.m., okay? And we have an hour and 58 minutes to go.
Oh, man.
But we only have 15 minutes to go. Okay, all I got to say is she got me good.
They got you great.
They got me good.
Keenan Thompson was who imitated, because he does a great, great job. He's been on the show for years, and he imitates Michael Irvin. He got you down. He got you down. hilarious. Now, listen. Chris Red, he's a fantastic, and I'm a fan of his. I interviewed him on Stephen A's World. Love him. Love the work he's doing as well. No matter how funny he was doing me right there, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage everybody to go to YouTube, Google or whatever. Google Chris Red doing a press conference imitating the new mayor of New York, Eric Adams.
That's funny.
I haven't laughed that hard about SNL in 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell y'all right now.
Yeah.
He did me well, but I'm telling y'all right now, that brother Chris Red imitating the new mayor of New York, Eric Adams. I promise y'all, it's must see.
Yeah.
Trust me on that.
But that was a lot of fun. When I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness, they got us.
They got us. They got us.